नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जन्ति अचा आम अचा एव साधवो व्युहस्ता माया गुणा विभ्रमोभयम् भवत्। तदनुस्मरणाद् ऋते सतां निमित्तम् अन्याद् भगवान् न विद्महे भजन्त्यताम् अत एव साधो यूदस्त माया गुणविभ्रमोऽयम् भवत्पदानुस्मरणाद् वृत्तेषाम् निमित्ताम् अन्याद् भगवान् न विद्महे पञ्चतात्वाम् अत एव साधवो यस्तमाया गुणविभ्रमोदयम् भवत्पदौ स्मरणाधृते सिताम् निमित्ताम् अन्यागवान् न विद्महे अजञ्जता त्वाम् अत एव साधवो युदस्त माया गुणविभ्रमादयाम् अप्रदानुस्मरणाधृते सिताम् निमित्ताम् अनाद्भगवान् न विद्महे त्वाम् अत एव साधवो युदस्त माया गुणविभ्रमोदयम् भवत्पदानुस्मराधृते सिताम् निमत्ताम् अन्याद्भवम् न विद्महे भजन्त तत्त्वाम् अत एव साधो युदस्त माया गुणविभ्रमोदयम् भवत्पदानुस्मरणाधृते सिताम् ताम् अन्याद् भगवान् न विद्महे भजन्त तत्त्वाम् अत एव साधवो युदस्त माया गुणविभ्रमोदयम् भवत्पदानुस्मरणाधृते सिताम् निमित्ताम् अन्याद्भगवान् न विद्महे भजतत्त्वाम् अत एव साधवो अस्तु माया गुरुभ्रमोदयम् भवत्पदानुस्मरणाद्वेषताम् निमित्ताम् अन्याद्भगवान् न विद्महे भजन्त ताम् अत एव साधवो युदस्त माया गुणविभ्रमोदयम् भवदानुस्मरणाधृते सिताम् भक्ताम् अन्या भगवान् नद्महे भजन्त तत्त्वाम् अत एव साधवो युदस्त माया गुणविभ्रमोदयम् ഭവത്തനുസ്മരണാദൃതേശതാം വിമത്താം അഞ്ഞാവാൻ വിദ്മഹേ ഭജനി ദേവോഷ അഥ ദേഫോർ താം യു അഥ ഏവ ദേഫോർ സാധവ ഓൾ പേഴ്സൺസ് വ്യൂദസ്ത ഹു ഡിസ്പെൽ മായാ ഗുണ The modes of material nature. Vibhrama, misconceptions. Udayam, produced. Bhavat, your. Ada, lotus feet. Anusmanat, constantly remembering. Vite, accept. Sitam, O great saintly person. Nimittam, reason. Anyat, other. Bhagavan, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na, not. Vidhe, I can understand. Translation, great saintly persons who are always liberated take to your devotional service because only by the word service can one be relieved from the illusions of material existence. O my Lord, there is no reason for the liberated souls to take shelter at your lotus feet, except that such souls are constantly thinking of your feet. Before, the peas are generally engaged in furtive activities for material bodily comforts. The jnana, however, are disgusted with searching after material comforts. They understand that they have nothing to do with this material world being souls. After self-realization, the jnanis who are actually mature the knowledge must surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord as stated in Gita, Bahunam Jamanam Antum. Self-realization is not complete when one comes to the devotional platform. Therefore, it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that those who are Atmarama, self-satisfied, are free from all contaminations of the material modes of nature. As long as one is affected in modes of material nature, especially by Rajas and Tamas, he will be very greedy and lusty and will therefore engage in hard tasks laboring all day and night. Such false egoism carries one from one species of life to another perpetually, and there is no rest in any species of life. The jnani understands this fact and therefore ceases to work and takes to sannyas. Yet this is not actually a platform of satisfaction. After civilization, the material wisdom of the jnani leads to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. When he is satisfied only in contemplating the lotus feet of the Lord constantly. Vithu Maharaj therefore concluded that liberated persons taking to the devotional path have acquired the ultimate goal of life. If liberation were the end in itself, there would be no question of a liberated person's taking to devotional service. In other words, the transcendental bliss derived from self-realization, known as Atmananda, is very insignificant in the presence of the bliss derived from the service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Bhikkhu Maharaj there concluded that he would simply hear of the glories of the Lord constantly and thus engages upon the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. Om Ajnana Timuram Hasya Ganam Jana Sarakaya Chaksuri Nindin Tasmai Shri Guru Vena Maha. Ajam Tithatvam Ata Eva Savo Vyudasta Maya Guna Vibra Modayam Bhavat Padanu Smaranad Vitei Satam Nimittam Anyad Bhagavan Nidhidmahe. Great persons who are always liberated take devotional service because only by devotional service can one relieve from the illusions of material existence.
And my Lord, there is no reason for the liberal souls to take shelter at your lotus feet except that such souls are constantly thinking of your feet. And there's many very interesting points that are described here. First, just taking directly the translation. Prithvi Maharaj is describing the position of liberated persons. And even by the definitions that are given within this very verse and purport, liberateds are equated with the jnanis who have a degree of self-realization, meaning that they're understanding the difference between the soul and the material covering of the soul, and that their identity actually equal to the soul and not the covering of the material energy. However, just from reading the verse, only devotional service can be relieved from the illusions of material existence. There seems to be a contradiction, because the basic illusion of material existence is the false ego, or the misidentification of the soul with matter. So those who have already reached this liberated platform, the jnanis, who are civilized, just now using these series of terms, equating one with another, the jnani who is civilized, who understands himself to be the soul and not matter, is not free from the illusions of material existence. Because, as it's described in the verse, only by devotional service can one be freed from the illusions of material existence. They're described here and in many places within Bhagavad Gita and within Prabhupada's purports also, that we can very clearly describe and declare on the authority of Prithvi Maharaj, incarnation of the Lord, just taking one reference of the foot, that this self-revelation of the impersonalist or the mental speculator, that is at best described as incomplete. Or so filled with the illusions of material existence, simply describing oneself as soul, not matter, spirit, not this body. For the large part, in other words, they're still conditioned souls. They're described as liberated, but they're still influenced by illusory conception of life. That illusory conception of life is the incomplete picture that their entity as spirit soul exists apart from the supreme soul. The simple example that Prabhupada gives in this regard is describing the part separate from the whole. To describe part of the body as existing in some way, leaving out the description of that part of the body has its relation to the whole body. That description is incomplete. Or describing the ray of sun in such a way that you just neglect or leave out the fact that the ray of sun is connected to the sun. It's shining unity from the sun planet. Material science also makes the same mistake. It's faulty logic. As much as empiricists are exercising their power of logic and reason, it's faulty logic and faulty reason to analyze a thing apart from what is connected to. Because one will then conclude that the ray of sun is, it's simply shining or twinkling or radiating light and heat in and of itself, which isn't a fact. Or that a limb of the body is just existing apart from the rest of them. It's ludicrous. It's certainly faulty reasoning and faulty analysis. So also is the analysis of the jnani. Or here, it's repeatedly being described as the liberated soul. Liberated but not completely liberated. Oh, your Krishna, Padam, Padam, Padam. although he's thinking himself, which Bhagavatam describes in this way, that the liver soul, or the jiva, is simply imagining himself to be liberated within his mind. This is his mental configuration, which is only temporary, because again he will fall down. Fall back down again to the plane. Often the those that pursue this path and come to this conclusion philosophically again come to perform material activity. As Prabhupada is describing in the purport, they like to talk about themselves as karma sannyas, differentiating themselves from the karmis, who are simply interested in fruitive activity for bodily comfort in a way that is producing some so-called self-being. They differentiate themselves from this by saying, we are giving up these activities that are for fruitive gain, for bodily comfort, because we've given up the bodily concept of life. But until they come to the point of take devotional service, that happiness or satisfaction they derive, here two terms are given to identify that condition, Atmarama and also Atmananda. There is pure some happiness that is derived by the person who philosophically can attend his identity separate from the body. But that happiness is insignificant in comparison to the happiness of divine service, the pleasure that is derived from serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Insignificant in such a way that wherever there is the insignificant happiness, then something may appear to be a greater happiness, or improved condition of happiness. And this is the position of the impersonalist, who again takes to philanthropic activities in this world. Although they've given up, at least their declaration is, they've given up karma, or activities meant for the comfort, they simply extend that concept other way to philanthropy, altruism, opening hospitals, doing charitable works for mankind in a benevolent way. We have examples of this in our own country, of societies that have this idea. It is mundane, so-called spiritualists that have as their business simply philanthropy, with the philosophy that we're not the body, simply welfare activity for the body, although the body. So it simply extends the idea that the self is something in the soul. It is the greater sense of that, of nation or humanity or mankind or suffering living entities, giving bodily welfare work. Because the soul has to be active in some sphere. They give up fruitive activities, but then you have to take up some activity. Unless that activity is the active devotional service of personality of Godhead, they will again fall back down into its material activity. They fall back down into activity on the material platform. Another comparison that Prabhupada gives it is the effort that it takes to send a spaceship into orbit, into space. Unless, in fact, this example is an example that I gave in the early days of the movement to people who were experimenting with drugs and would constantly ask this question about how does your process feel about the experimental kinds of altered states of consciousness through drug experiences. In the same analogy, much like it relates to the impersonalists, it also applies in other context, that if you send a spaceship to outer space, it will eventually have to come back. Unless it takes shelter somewhere where it can stay, it will eventually have to come back. Because it is not the proper atmosphere if you try to send a spaceship to the moon. Even if they were to go there, leave aside whether the recent spaceships have gone or haven't gone there, if they were able to go there, they could only stay there for some time. Because it is not the atmosphere, they would again have to come back. Their supply of food and fuel, oxygen, etc. would become exhausted, and they would again have to come back. Or just floating around in space somewhere, orbiting somewhere. Eventually, a gravitational pull will bring them to some point of taking shelter. That's a given reality. So similarly, the effort that it takes for the physicist, the great austerity and ordeal they must go through to come properly to the conclusion, not just theoretically, but to have some genuine understanding of the identity of spirit, soul, apart from the body, that is compared to the effort of, exhaustive effort of sending a spaceship into outer space, but they came in there. They simply imagine themselves to be now freed from the influence of the illusions of material existence. Although called liberated souls, they're only liberated temporarily. Therefore we know that anything that exists according to Krishna's definition in Bhagavad Gita, that which is temporary illusion, is not accepted by the wise person as real. They're not for real liberated. Rather, the real position of liberation, the only position of liberation, we say this with clarity, not just fanaticism, the real position of liberation is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, branching in his devotional service. This is a picking Maharaj is giving me a logical presentation here, because his next statement is, Lord, there is no reason for the liberated souls to take shelter at your lotus feet, except that such souls are constantly thinking of your feet. And Prabhupada explains what he means by this. He's giving a very logical, reasoned out presentation of his conclusion. But because even for those who are liberated souls, if they're the end destination, then there would be no need for them to take up devotional service. There would be no attraction for hearing the message of the personality of God. This similar argument is given as one of the proofs, Prabhupada describes this in Krishna book, as one of the proofs that actually is reference made to the presentation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Roy in describing the Atmarama verse that's described here in the book, of why the position of liberation isn't the ultimate position, but rather the position of devotional service. Before Kumara, when he entered Vaikuntha, they were understood to be liberated, free from the bodily conception of life, because of their desire to remain free from this bodily conception of life, they're capable of keeping the forms of young 5-year-old boys, because they didn't want their bodies to mature to a greater stage and become influenced and attracted by the features of the opposite sex. Therefore they just maintained, although their wisdom was that of a fully realized soul, they maintained these childlike features. They had this power to do that. So when they entered into Vaikuntha, simply by smelling incense that was offered, being offered to the Lord, and the flowers offered to the Lord, they became immediately attracted. They were completely unattracted to anything material, and yet they were attracted. Just as Pithamaras is being described, his conclusion is one who is attracted to the message of the personality head, who is a liberated person, attracted to these messages, is proof that the platform of devotional service is the platform of liberation. as one hears the qualities of the personality of Godhead or the spiritual world or the pastimes of the Lord or the different features of devotional service, a liberated person has become attracted. Proof that this is a higher position, a superior position beyond that of merely denial of the self to be part of this material configuration. And that happiness is superior. This example of Prabhupada gives also that directly from Bhagavad Gita, Brahm Vishvam Avartante, if one wants to give up some unwanted activity, then the best means to give up that unwanted activity is to experience something that is a superior activity, a more enjoyable activity. And then the lesser activity is very easily given up. Therefore, we describe the process of sadhana bhakti. But if one simply goes in a very regulated fashion, one may not initially. Have a great spiritual taste. One may not be on the platform of which or spiritual relishing, spiritual pleasure at every moment by that activity. But if one, in a related manner, simply performs these activities, that does derive and produce a higher taste. And in due course of time, that the purification that results allow one, through higher taste, without some strenuous effort or separate endeavor, to get unwanted things. Whether it's bad habits or impure qualities within the heart, things, even the desire to give up these things becomes more prominent and pronounced because they interfere with experiencing that higher taste. It's all progressive, gradual progression in spiritual life. So by hearing these topics, liberators are already free from these complications of identifying with those bodily pleasures or sensual pleasures or even mental and intellectual pleasures. Except they have this one deep-rooted problem or contaminate, and that is being unwilling to accept the supreme position of God. Because if they accept the supreme position, although I am soul, I am Atma, Paramatma, and immediately recognizing the supreme position, immediately it means that I must serve. Prabhupada describes that this is the fundamentals of our Krishna conscious philosophy. He once said to describe Krishna consciousness philosophy in a nutshell, God is great, we are very tiny, therefore we must serve Him. That is our philosophy. Because logically one could the next. As soon as the acknowledgement is there of the supreme good, I can be humble enough to acknowledge my insignificant, tiny position. The statement immediately follows, therefore I must serve. The subordinate must serve the superior. The materialist doesn't like that. Unless he's thinking of himself as the superior, then he is the one in the service, and that's just fine. But the subordinate serves the superior. The tiny serves the... And this is our... platform of devotional service. Even when all of the preconceptions are wiped away, here it's made very clear from the point of liberation. When misconception misconstrues itself to be the body, it's finished. Then what? And it's not complicated by false ego. Then what is reality? When messages information of the personality of Godhead is broadcast, then those who are, and Prabhupada qualifies it, within the purport, that those who are mature in their wisdom, they will shelter this process of hearing. A very interesting feature that's described, just as he's equating these terms of self-liberated, self-realized and liberated soul and the impure philosopher who has reached the conclusion of his as far as he can go, he's also equating the process of hearing the glories of the Lord with meditating upon the feet of the Lord. Sometimes this phrase is a little confusing or difficult to understand. What does it mean to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord? This described in Bhagavatam class a little bit the other day. It's in part a description of one's humility, because the lowest part of one's body, or the unclean part, or the least interesting or knowledgeable part of one's body is one's feet, because one's feet is walking in all kinds of dirty places, etc. So a sign of humility is to offer this to the feet of another, for the lowest part of another's body. However, there's also a description within the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam of how the recommendation of how the deity should be worshipped. For example, to not immediately look to the face of the deity, but what the recommendation is made in a progressive way, to meditate first upon his feet and then the ankles of the Lord and the legs of the Lord and the waist of the Lord and the chest of the Lord and the beautiful face of the Lord. One approaches a great melody first in this way. So where does, when one hears the glories of the Lord, from whom does one hear? Does the sound just exist separate, like the arm that's separate from the body, or the ray of the sun that's separate from the globe? The glorification, of course, so in similar manner, the glorification of the Lord coming from those self-realized souls situated at the Lord's lotus feet and are glorifying his qualities and pastimes and activities. So this is the statement of Bhāraja in the verse. The only reason the liberated souls are taking shelter at your lotus feet is because such souls are constantly thinking of your feet. Those who are like those liberated souls, who are appreciating the glories of the Lord, they're glorifying those qualities of the Supreme Lord. And there they are doing. Either process, hearing and glorifying, has equal effect. Just as with Shri Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit. Both achieve perfect, one who is speaking and the other who is listening. But equal perfection, but better perfection was achieved by Sukadeva Goswami because he was the one narrating. And a lesser degree of perfection was achieved by Maharaj Pariksit because he wasn't speaking, he was just listening. But equal perfection was achieved. So similarly, those who are in a liberated position, those who are in a disposition, seek out the association of advanced persons. Or if one desires to become advanced in spiritual life, then one will seek out the association of those who are advanced in spiritual life. And what is the activity, again, of those that are advanced in spiritual life? They're chanting the glories of the Lord, situate the Lord's lotus feet. And this is, in Prabhupada's own description here, being equated with meditating upon the lotus feet of the Lord. Because at the lotus feet of the great souls are situated in a position of humility and servitorship, rendering their loving service to Krishna. So this is Pritha Maharaj's appreciation and his putting this verse in conflict with the previous verses, he is, we can just review a little bit, he is presenting an appeal to Lord Vishnu, have an opportunity to serve as the goddess of foot serves, to serve him at his lotus feet. As you can recall, he was describing that, please, when the goddess of foot becomes angry, if I am serving you in this way, because then I'll be usurping her position. And she'll even become angry, but I'm sure you will understand. So you please take my side, defend me, because I am desiring to serve you in this way. And now we know the reason why he's desiring to serve in this way. Prabhupada identified that his position, his rasa, or relationship with Krishna, or with Lord Vishnu, is that of servitude. And the position, or rasa, of the goddess of fortune in relation to the Supreme Lord is conjugal. However, the goddess of fortune is there massaging the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, and Prithvi Maharaj is also desiring to render this service. So these positions, as far as the Lord is concerned, are equal. One who is in a position, liberated position of devotional service to the personality of Godhead, they are seen equally by God, not that one is favored above another. One type of service in the spiritual world may be more confidential than another, but as far as Krishna is concerned, he sees all of his devotees equally. Therefore, Prithvi Maharaj is giving this argument that those who are liberated, and certainly also the goddess of fortune, is in a liberated position, but the real, and as for himself also, the real position of real happiness is to have an opportunity to meditate upon and serve the lotus feet of the Lord. And the only reason that one has an interest like that is because one is always thinking, absorbed in the lotus feet of the Lord. So, we have a few minutes left if there's some questions or discussion. Yes? What it says first. As long as one is affected by the modes of material nature, especially by rajas and tamas, feeling very greedy and lazy, and will therefore engage in hard tasks, laboring all day and night. Such false egoism carries one from one species of life into another perpetually, and there is nest in any species of life. The Jnani emits this fact and therefore ceases to work and takes to karma sannyas. So karma sannyas, it starts from the very opening line of the purport. Those karmis are generally engaged in creative activities for material bodily comforts. So karma sannyas means, for the Jnani, there is the understanding that that whole affair of working hard for material bodily comfort is unwanted, let me give it up. Instead, their activity that they take up is philosophical pursuit. However, in the philosophical state that is being made in this verse, and purport indicate very clearly that philosophical pursuit is not really sannyas. Devotional service is really karma sannyas. And the impersonalists have that conception. Just as in the Bhagavad Gita, the impersonalist interpretation of the verse of, in the beginning, this work to be the means, and the end, cessation material activity is said to be the means. So that's that, not advanced, now that we're liberated, we can give up activities. That was the criticism that was being made of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. dancing, you should be these are not activities for us dancing. You should be studying the Dantra Sutra, performing austerities, observing all the ritual formularies. That's not their relation was, this is not karma samas. That's what they did. Singing and dancing, carrying on. Not being able to distinguish between material activity and devotional service. Therefore, just activity. Of course, the soul can't give up activity. So their idea is there's a scripture and a certain set of prescribed things that it's the idea of the liberated soul. Karma samas. That you said that I do all of them. Right. That part of it. So what now? Yes. What's being described here? Is the Anuja. Entry means the existence of, not the other kinds of liberation. Because they're not even acknowledging the empiricist. Does not acknowledge that the Lord has form. There's no question of accepting the same form as the Lord. They're not aspiring to come to the stage where the same form as the Lord. Or they go to the planet, same planet as the Lord. Because the residents in Vaikuntha, unlike Krishna Loka, in Vaikuntha Loka, all the residents have forms like the Lord. There are certain distinguishing features between the body of the Lord and the other ones. But these are individuals who are imagining themselves even to have samyujya mukti, or that they'll merge into the existence of the body of the Lord. This kind of liberation that the demons that were killed by Lord Krishna received. We have information from Krishna book. From the Sura. After leaving the sea, and then entering into the body of the Lord. Yes, it's technical. Just as we in every day and say every day, Yavasesha Shunyavadi, Pascha Chandesatani. There is a difference between Yavasesha Shunyavadi, Mayavadi, or the impersonalist. It's technical. There is a difference. Specifically, the Mayavadi is one who says that the form of the Lord is material. sense of the other idea, but the best that I can recall is that other idea of the impersonalist is equating the soul to be the same as the supreme, not making the distinction between the individual soul and the supreme soul. Impersonalism. This technical difference is described a little bit limited in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They boil down to the same thing. In either case, it's denying the existence of the personality of Godhead. Simply a different emphasis in philosophy. With Mayavadi, they're is that anything that has not only form, specifically we can do it in terms of form, but in general, anytime there is quality, because their definition is by negation, anytime there is quality or identity or activity or relation, as soon as any of those things become manifest, immediately that's dismissed as maya. Illusion. When the unmanifest, unborn, becomes manifest, then the manifest is all these different things. So it's the unborn, unmanifest that one is really interested in. That's the ultimate position. Into the Mayavadi. Do you understand the distinction? Do you understand? A little animating even to have to hear it. But the idea. Like Prabhupada gave the maybe we can discuss because his time is running, right? We can discuss this a little bit after. This is the Viva Commanded Bhagavad idea. The Prabhupada, in one class Prabhupada was going on for about 10 minutes, just in great anger, repeating this point of how Vivekananda was saying in his Bhagavad Gita that Krishna says, surrender to me, but actually he means surrender to the unborn and manifest within. He was so angry, just me, this rascaldom. Krishna is saying, surrender to me. In his commentary, he is saying, no, do not surrender to the person, Krishna, but to something else. The unborn, unmanifest within. As if it's some inarticulate boob that can't say what it really means, so he needs elucidation of the commandment to make it clear. What he really meant to say was, because it's Mayavadi, they want to deny that the personality of Godhead, they're spiritual. Their idea is that's part of the vyakta, the manifest, coming from the higher position of the unmanifest. So as soon as there's personality or form or quality or pastime, it's all maya. Then Prabhupada says, if it's all maya, then why study Bhagavad Gita, rascal? Why use Krishna's credentials to establish your nonsense philosophy? If it's all mine. Rascals and cheaters. That's the Mayavadi. The impersonalist just approaches from another end of the stick. Conclusion is the same. I am God, you are God. There's no personality, because if there's personality, then there's two. But there's no two. One person. The emphasis is different, but it's the same stick. the same stick. Even in Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Gauri doesn't like that. Because there are contradictions, we can with a number of other seeming contradictions, and those seeming contradictions have to be understood by one who has received this knowledge in parampara, the suffix accept. Otherwise, for sure, this comes within. Because there is also sadguna, there is nirguna worship and sadguna. So, what do those things mean? For hours or lifetimes. Therefore, this basic element of faith reposed upon one who is presenting things from the parampara, unbroken, the cyclic succession without speculation, that's important. The saintly kings understood it in that way, and we also understand it in that way. And there is no other way to understand it by. And further, so many references can be put to not just simply, well, it's in the parampara, therefore, but the parampara is basing their statements upon the full view of what's there in Shastra. You take the tail and the leg and the ear of the elephant, but don't know the elephant, then it becomes pretty bewildering. So one has to have realized the conclusion of the Vedas, or have a full scope of. Just like your question is much what the way, you know, if you start to read the Tattva Sandarbha, the Jiva Goswami goes through this similar exercise of presenting a statement and then saying, but someone might say, and then he presents a whole list of Shastric references to back to him. And then someone may question the Shastric references in the following manner, and to that I reply, boom, 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 boom. Because of the force of the Shastra, and also the disciplic succession, Guru Sadasha. Therefore, we need up these conclusions. But ultimately, the resolve comes in faith, in accepting the disciplic succession. Because argument can go on back and forth, endlessly. And Prabhupada, in his purport, it has, and it does. The eternal rivalry between the impersonalists and the personalists. That is between the devotees and the demons. That goes on eternally.